I've been on quite a journey the last couple of weeks with what the Lord's been showing me, and it's been in the midst of utter chaos in life, really. It's just been completely manic and really hard to kind of find the physical space and time to prepare. But every moment while I've been driving, whatever I've been doing, the Lord's just been speaking to me. And for me, it's just been a really significant time. Like, I've woken up in some aspects of my life and I feel like a changed person just because I've taken this time out with God. And it shouldn't take speaking at the front for me to have those moments. You know, when you're forced to prepare, you know, this should be our experience regularly. So what I want to speak about today is treasure. So we're going to go on a bit of a treasure hunt today, finding out where our treasures are, what treasures we've got hidden away, and find out why Jesus talked a heck of a lot about treasure. I hadn't realized just how much. So we're going to start in Matthew 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount. I'm actually going to read right through because it's all fabulous. So those two verses I'm going to focus on. But someone once described this, the Sermon on the Mount, as the manifesto of the kingdom of heaven, which I just think is absolutely fantastic. But if we grasped everything that was in this, our lives would be completely different because it's just got everything in it. It's just incredible. And how incredible it must have been to actually be there and hear Jesus say these words. It's quite awesome. So, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, I love this bit, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. This is the bit we're really focusing on today. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And because of time, I'm not going to read the rest of that. So I also want us to turn to Luke 12, 16 to 21. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Okay, and then another scripture, Mark 10, 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." So I've just been blown away by it. They're just some examples of where Jesus just talks so much about treasure and about the difference between earthly treasure and heavenly treasure. You know, how often do we look to accumulate things on this earth? And we're constantly looking for the next thing that we can spend our money and the next thing that we're saving up for. That's to be earthly minded. And I have been so challenged by this. You know, I genuinely thought, oh, I'm quite generous. You know, we've given people money for things, but it hasn't cost us a great deal, to be perfectly honest. We've been able to do that. But the kingdom principles are just unbelievable. You know, that God is asking us to prioritize his kingdom and the treasures that you lay up in heaven. I've never really thought about it before, except to think it seems a bit greedy to sort of think about treasures in heaven. I used to say to people, I'll just be glad to get in, to be honest. Not worried about what's up there and what I accumulate. I'll just be glad that I'm in. But we are encouraged to lay up, and that word lay up means to amass. We are encouraged to amass treasures in heaven. Absolutely incredible. And I don't know if you've noticed with treasures on earth how quickly they lose their value, how quickly they lose their worth. How many times have we built our hopes up? You know, we've been doing a new kitchen since October. Oh, okay. Tino, with a little bit of help, not from me. I did pick the colours. Has been doing this kitchen since October. And you get so excited about things sometimes, as if somehow when you have this new thing, your life's going to be incredible. You know, you finally go on the holiday of a lifetime. You finally get the kitchen. You get your extension done. You move to a bigger house. But how quickly we start to say, oh, I'm not sure I like it now. I think I'd like to do this and I'd like to do that. And we want more. We're not satisfied. And we live like that for years. It's constantly wanting to move to the next thing. And, you know, that's how I was kind of going along in my life a little bit, you know, with treasures and thinking about, when I get this, then I'll be happy. When I get this, then I'll be happy. I can tell you now, there's no happiness in it. I'm already looking around the kitchen and thinking, wish we'd done it in lime green now. I don't like the blue. Oh, yeah. You know, but that's how quickly it loses its value. You know, and we all say it, oh, you can't take it with you when you're gone. But that's a serious point to make. And I think I shared another time about when Tino's uncle passed away 3 years ago now, 4 years ago. He had cancer. And Tino led him to the Lord, and he died 2 days later. This was a man who'd spent his entire life building, planning his retirement. They were going to retire to France. Just building on, extension after extension on the home. They had this most beautiful balcony. I mean, just stunning. Every time I drive past that when we're in Nottingham, where his family still have, look at that balcony, I feel sad for a moment when I think about the life that was spent building his kingdom. But oh, the joy when he gave his life to the Lord, when he was brought down to nothing. You know, suddenly those things didn't matter. He was sat in the conservatory, one of these things that he'd built, sat there on the sofa, a broken man, because suddenly none of that mattered. He just wanted his life. You know, it was just so incredible. And it was so such a rapid thing, you know. He went very quickly, you know. And these things are just so important to be aware of what treasures matter, what treasures matter to God. Just incredible. So how do we store up treasures in heaven? Well, the first thing's quite obvious. You've got to be saved because that's the foundation. That's the thing to build on. What's challenged me about this is that sometimes we get saved and then we just carry on living the way we lived before, amassing everything we can, trying to get everything we can out of life, but with that little bit of reassurance in the back of our mind that at least we know we're going to heaven. There is so much more to the kingdom of God than just that salvation, because it's a foundation. This is really, really important. You know, it sounds flippant, but sometimes it feels like it's a shopping list thing, you know, get cat food, ensure my salvation, you know. It changes everything, because when we make that exchange, when we say, I give my life to you, we become part of God's kingdom at that moment. So we're no longer, you know, that verse about not being of the world, you know, that verse used to annoy me because I used to think it's not realistic. You know, we're quite obviously in the world. We're surrounded by the world, got all the stresses of the world. But we can see how quickly these things pass away. Just things. You watch any apocalyptic movie when there's a few survivors going through the streets and all the houses where people have lived a life, they're all derelict, full of cobwebs. Just stuff. So it's key that you're saved, that you've made that decision. But then we have to move on from that. That's not a stopping point, it's a starting point. Starting point for something quite incredible. I've called it sanctified living because these all begin with S. That's why it's called that. So it's a big word, isn't it? Sanctified living. But a lot of the time in the world, we're trying to do behavior modification. That's what I teach at all my therapy groups. You know, we're trying to teach people to change their behaviours. For me, I'm trying to encourage people and help them to stop their binge eating behaviour or emotional eating behaviours. And that's great. You know, and we do have success, but people nearly always go back to their default because it's about heart transformation. And I'm forever trying to ask the Holy Spirit to help me share some nugget or something with my patients that will give them that long-term change. But it's very easy for us as Christians to get caught up in behavior modification. You know, we think that following Jesus and being a Christian, it just means that we're the person in work that doesn't swear or that we come to church every Sunday. There's a heck of a lot more to it than that. I've got lots of colleagues that don't swear, but they don't know Jesus. I've got colleagues that do a lot for charity, but they don't know Jesus. I've got colleagues. We used to have this girl at work called Harriet who was known as the happiest person on earth. I used to feel quite annoyed because I was like, well, I should be that person because I'm the Christian at work. I want them all to say, oh, you're so happy. Harriet was literally the happiest person I've ever seen, but she didn't know Jesus. You know, maybe it was just a front, but, you know, I think we've got the wrong perspective of what it means to be effective, what it means to follow Jesus, because I've never heard anyone share a testimony about their salvation and say, I came to the Lord because of the bloke that didn't swear. There's more to it than that. You know, there's the words of knowledge that you can get for people, or those acts of kindness that you do for people where it costs you a lot, where you sacrifice a lot. Those are the things that really speak to people. So it's about heart transformation, and it's about continually moving in that process. I know for myself in my life, there's been time I've literally been at a standstill. Nothing's changed for a long time. My thinking hasn't changed. I'm not doing anything different. In a year's time, I don't want to be doing the same as I'm doing now and saying the same as I'm saying. I want to have moved on and progressed. And that's what this has done for me, just by being in the Word and understanding a bit more about treasure. I feel like I've taken a step forward after being in a bit of a slump, if I'm honest. You know, I've woken up. Quite exciting. Sowing and giving is a tricky one. Like I was saying before, you know, I've always liked to think, oh, we're incredibly generous. You know, we give people things, and you know, we give lots of stuff away. We don't sell it; we just give it away. And I think, oh, get me, aren't I amazing? It hasn't cost us a great deal. I mean, there was that one time where we saved up for a car, and God told us to buy a car for somebody else. That was hard. That was hard, and yet the joy that came from that was unbelievable. That's the thing, that God knows that we will get more blessing and more joy when we do these things, so I don't know why we don't do them. We convince ourselves that we've got to keep things for ourselves, or we give out of the abundance, you know? But if you remember the story of the widow and the two mites, And Jesus said that she'd given more because she gave everything. Just absolutely incredible. And it's not just sowing money, it's sowing time, it's sowing your talents. It's all of the resources that you've got. We need them here in this church. We can't do it all without you guys. You know, we have to see ourselves as a team. You know, we're on the same side, all of us, and sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but we are on the same side. You know, and I would encourage all of you to get alongside Rob, get alongside Tino. You know, even if you don't like their methods sometimes, as somebody who's spent time with them, I can tell you that their heart is to serve, to love you, and to do what God's calling them to do. They might make mistakes. I'm sure they will make mistakes. But I would encourage you to come alongside them and support them. It's just so, so important. You know, the hours that Dave Helms put into this church, unprecedented. You know, they weren't just contained within his 9 to 5 or whatever his hour. It's a 24/7 calling. It's absolutely unbelievable. You know, I mean, I bumped into Dave once when we were visiting somebody in hospital, and he'd already done 2 hospital visits, sat with a family that were grieving, and he was going on from that hospital visit to plan a funeral with a family that suffered a loss, you know? And pastors don't do this job for the money. Most certainly not. You know, it's a calling. You know, it's absolutely incredible. So, you know, part of sowing is sowing encouragement to those who are putting everything in. You know, going up and thanking people. Thank people for what they've done in your life. Thank them for being part of it. Thank them for the part they played. You know, because without those people that are willing to give and willing to sow, we wouldn't be here now. You know, things would have folded years ago if it wasn't for faithful people that believed in us, kept things going. Soul winning. I think this is the thing that's challenged me the most this week. When we were doing Kids Club in Coventry, there were 20, 30 kids giving their life to the Lord every week. I remember very arrogantly at one point thinking, well, I've done my bit. Heaven will be populated because of all of those. Woo-hoo, that's me, right? I'm done. Tell you what, I'm not done. Some of the greatest treasures in heaven will be those people who we led to the Lord. You know, how grateful are you for the people that shared Jesus with you? If you just think about them for a minute. There might have been 2 or 3 people. I know in Tino's testimony, there was a lab technician at school who first told him about the Lord, his uncle, different people along the way. How grateful are you for those people that took the time, took a step of faith, and shared their faith with you? You know, I'm grateful I was brought up in a Christian home, so it wasn't a dramatic conversion for me. It was, you know, I think when I was 4 or 5 when I first gave my life to the Lord. You know, I remember that day. So I'm grateful for that input. Grateful for the input of a lot of people in this room today. But we're called to share Jesus with others because he's not a hidden treasure. You know, and I think sometimes in our lives he is a hidden treasure. You know, do the people around you know that you love Jesus? Do the people around you know how important he is to you? Do they know what he's done in your life? Or is that hidden? Because he is most definitely not meant to be a hidden treasure. And I'll come back to that at the end. Good old serving. Our favourite. It's a sad fact, but, you know, I've been there myself several times where sometimes we feel we're too busy to get involved and to serve because we've just got too much going on. So serving and the Lord sometimes is the lowest priority. But if you've got an eternal perspective and you're thinking about heavenly treasure rather than earthly treasure, your priorities completely change. I've been so challenged by this week and I've thought, wake up, Liz, what on earth are you doing? Some of the things I waste my time doing that yield absolutely no fruit whatsoever. I'm not condemning myself over it. I'm just glad that I've sort of seen the light, shall we say. I thought, man alive, I'm 44 already. Don't know how that happened. I mean, that's 44. My next big birthday is 50. You know, how quickly that happens, how quickly that comes about. You know, I mean, you know, I've stood here and done dramas here when I was a youth. You know, and suddenly I'm 44 and I haven't done half the things that I wanted to do. And the things that God's calling to me, some of them, I haven't done them. Yeah, I've been afraid to do them, or I've thought, well, somebody else will do it better, or I've left it too late. How have I left it too late? I'm still here. I'm here right now. You know, our friend Rob used to say that. I remember talking about desire to learn the guitar, and I said to him, you know, it's a bit late now. And he said, why is it too late? Where are you going? You know, if you start having lessons now, imagine how good you'll be in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. You know, those are earthly values. You know, God's values, his kingdom values are completely different. He turns everything on its head, absolutely everything. And we need to start seeing things more from his perspective. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm sort of in the world system, I don't feel content. I don't feel satisfied. You know, I even say this phrase sometimes, oh, I don't know how people get up in the morning if they haven't got the Lord in their life. You know, and then it suddenly dawned on me, well, what about you? Sometimes you get up, you don't even acknowledge that the Lord's with you. I've got this incredible treasure of Jesus. I mean, incredible treasure. Best gift you've ever been given. What are we doing with that gift? You know, it's just the most unbelievable thing. And I'm not always acting as though I have this greatest gift in my life. And if I'm not doing that, I'm certainly not going to want to share it with anybody else. If I'm not passionate, if I'm not on fire, if I'm not extremely excited that the creator of the earth walks with me, then I'm not going to share it with anybody else. Don't know why I'm looking at my notes. I never look at my notes anyway. Studying God's word. Now, every time I've heard sermons on this, a lot of times in my life, I've thought, oh, boring. Honestly, I'm being honest with you now. I've thought, you know, oh, here we go. Someone's going to talk about studying the word again. Great. But something changed for me this week and last week while I was studying. I mean, I was just getting so excited about the revelation I was getting. When's the last time you got a revelation on something you were just like, wow, oh my goodness, I've never seen that before. I've never really understood about treasures in heaven. I've certainly never sought after them. It talks about all sorts of different crowns in heaven. Talks about mansions, it talks about all sorts of things. But the greatest treasures for sure are the acts of kindness. That's how you build up treasure in heaven, acts of kindness, winning souls, giving, sacrificing your time, your resources, your efforts. All of those things will build you up a stash in heaven. And if you think about it, that's where we're going to spend forever. Why are we so focused on what we're doing here on earth, which is just for a short time? That's where we're going to be for eternity. So that, you know, you'd think we would put a little bit more into that. You know, it's forever. It's hard to get your head around sometimes because we're so wired to have beginnings and endings of things. But it's forever, you know. Do we want to get up there and see the people that we shared Jesus with? I mean, that must just be the most incredible joy. When you see, you know, I can't wait to see Uncle Tony up there. Can't wait to see me gran again. You know, she became Christian later on in her life. She was a changed woman. Those that remember Edna, you know, in those last few couple of years, changed woman, just that joy. So who are we to keep that to ourselves? It's too important. I've gone off a bit, haven't I? But yeah, studying God's word, it's important, but you've got to expect God to speak to you, because otherwise it can feel like this dry activity, or you feel like you're doing it because you have to and there's no point to it. But when you really do it and you just say, Lord, just show me something new in this, it just comes alive to you. It's just so, so important and so vital. Right, I want to read Mark 8:34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Taking up your cross daily, it's something else I never really understood. I used to think taking up the cross, it was some sort of burden that you had to carry because you're a Christian, you know, and it's hard work. That's actually how I used to interpret it. I don't know why. It's not saying that. What does the cross represent? It represents Jesus surrendering to the will of his Father. That's what he did. That's what he's saying to do daily, surrender to the will of the Father. That's what it meant. Jesus was giving everything up. He had the power to save himself. You know, and we try and save ourselves sometimes. But that cross, the symbolism of that is so powerful. Over to you, Lord, this is your will. It's a difficult path I'm going to walk, but, you know, and that's what it means. Take up your cross daily. That's just been a real revelation to me this week, because I just never understood it before. It's not some heavy burden, taking up this heavy cross. It's a wondrous journey of saying, I'm with you. What have you got for me today? You know, who do you want me to speak to? Who do you want me to encourage? What do you want me to say in this situation? What do you want me to give? You know, we're just sometimes just too attached to the worldly processes, but the kingdom values are just incredible. They really are. It's just stuff. So I wanted to show a video just because I absolutely love it. Just because I like visuals. Just to make us think about the difference we can make to people around us when we're really moving with the Lord. Because when you're moving with Jesus, things will happen. He will give you opportunities. There will be things that happen and things that people see when you're completely open. You have an open heart and open hands. That's what following him means. I've got an open heart to you, Lord, today, and I've got open hands. Probably seen this before, but just think it's great. Was a social experiment that Coca-Cola did just to show just how infectious laughter can be. But Jesus is infectious. You know, if you're near Jesus, there's nothing like it. There's just absolutely nothing like it. And people around you will want to know about Jesus. But, you know, we've got to be excited about Jesus to want to share him. And there's another video I want to show you because this just really illustrates it for me. But I don't know if you've ever watched has anyone heard of Enchroma? So Enchroma is this incredible technology. They created these glasses for people that have colour blindness. So people who've never seen colour properly. And there's all these videos of people putting these glasses on for the first time and seeing colour for the first time. It's very powerful stuff. And the Lord just spoke to me through that and said, you know, that those glasses, it's like putting Jesus on, you know. And we're here to give these glasses out to everybody else, to give Jesus to everybody else. That's the gift. It's not our gift to keep. It's our gift to give to others. And the thing the Lord was saying to me, not only do we need to be giving those out, we need to make sure we're keeping our own glasses on. Don't take them off. Once they're on, don't take them off. Because, you know, when people see this color for the first time, it changes everything. And they even say to the people around them, is this what you've seen the whole time? You're telling me this is what you've been able to see all this time? It's just unbelievable. So I'm just going to show you one. A lot of the videos had swearing in, so I had to try and find one that didn't because people were just so excited when they saw colour. So I just want to show you. And just imagine that gift they're receiving is Jesus. Don't you think that's just incredible? You know, he gets to see all that beauty and all that colour. And that's what it's like when we introduce people to Jesus. Are we still wowed by him? You know, when we look at, do we still see that the brightness, the vibrance, how he makes everything alive? Because I can tell you, I haven't been consistently, but that's what's been challenging me. I want to be as amazed as that every time I see Jesus, not just, oh, you know. It isn't just for those that don't know him yet, it's for us as well. We've got access to this every day. You know, we've already got him. You know, how incredibly privileged and honored are we that we've already got Jesus? You know, we've already got access to seeing just the difference he makes to everyday situations, the difference he makes to our lives on a day-to-day basis like that. And I don't want to lose that. I want to be able to see the world like that. Again, I want to see it the way Jesus sees it, you know, and the beauty of it. Just a couple of quotes that really spoke to me. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And then this last one was from a story that I read about two elderly gentlemen, two neighbours, one who'd spent his life just amassing everything that he could, and one who loved the Lord, and the one who'd spent his life amassing all he could, saying, I'm leaving all that I have lived for, but my neighbour is going to what he has lived for. In other words, he's going to his inheritance. He's going to where those treasures are. And unfortunately, time just goes so quick because there's so much more in the scriptures about treasure, about the kingdom of heaven being a treasure, about Jesus being the treasure, about how we build that treasure in heaven and that be our priority, that be what we seek after. Because then everything looks different. You know, there's a heck of a lot of people out there that need to know about Jesus, but let's make sure that we're excited about him, and we remember he's a treasure. He's a gift that we were given. That is just unbelievable. Let's not forget that moment when we first said yes to the Lord and when we said, I'm giving my life to you. So let's give our life. You know, if that means your time, your resources, your money, they're all his anyway. You know, and if he came back tomorrow, can't take any of it. Not one single thing. Can't take our mobile. Can't take the cat, probably. You know, it's just stuff. So that was a very whistle-stop tour of treasure. But I felt like there were people here who just needed to be encouraged because you feel like you've been in no man's land. You know, you're neither fully committed to the Lord, but you don't know what else you would do because you've made that decision and it always draws you back. But you're not fully immersed in that abundant life. You're just stuck in this no man's land. The way to get out of that's down to you. There's no prayer I can pray for you. You know, that's down to you and looking at how you build up those treasures in heaven and just remembering who Jesus is to you and the difference that he makes to your life. So I'm going to stop talking now. But thank you for listening and have a cup of tea.